with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Try to get into some of that revenue sharing that could be on the way in college sports. Could this be the thing that kind of settles everything down? Or is it just another step into just the craziness, into the abyss of maybe where college sports is headed? Oklahoma portal news is a legacy is in the portal. We'll talk about that. NBA playoffs, both the Bucks and the Sixers stay alive last night in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So all three of those series that played last night in the East, all 3-2 with Philly and New York, the Cavs and the Magic, and then also the Bucks and the Pacers. Only the Pacers headed back home up 3-2. The others are headed back home down 3-2. So we talk about that. Do you have a problem with LeBron not shaking hands? It's a huge story again. We can hit that. Mavs at Clips tonight. What does that mean for the Thunder? Wolves Nuggets. Man, it sure seems like that's going to be a good series. So can the Wolves give the Nuggets a series, and how could that benefit Oklahoma City in possible Western Conference Finals matchup? Then we got some high school sports, girls golf, state tournaments wrapped up yesterday. Tell you how the local teams did. Boys playing regionals today. I'll be out at Elk City Golf and Country Club here in just a little bit with some live reports from the Class 4A regional tournament here at Elk City. We've also got some local kids doing great things in college, one even on the in the professional ranks that we can tell you about on the golf course. And also slow pitch state tournaments. I think they had a weather delay. I think I just saw 9:15. So they're supposed to crank back up. So slow pitch state tournaments, 3A down to Class B, going on in Oklahoma City today. And they're just about to get that cranked up again at 9:15 this morning. So we'll tell you who else playing there as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. It's free to download, and it literally has every single thing we do here at Paragon Communications, from all three radio stations to the Penny News. A brand new edition of that Penny News hit the website last night at midnight. Check it out through the app online, thepennynews.com. Of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV are there as well. We have golf today, baseball tomorrow, Big Elk TV. So, excuse me. That's not a good sign, Jared, because normally that means there's more to come. Anyhow, Big Elk and Paragon TV in the app as well. And, of course, if you miss our show entirely, Skinny on Sports podcast is available just about anywhere podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
Very well.
Look,
how are
distracted
you?
Distracted over there. What are you looking at?
I'm just trying to see what time everything's going. I think 9:15. I think 9:15. You're right.
It's right here. I mean, I'm looking at the OSSA website. They just posted an update that says 3A, 2A, A and B slow pitch stop ball tournaments will begin at 9:15. Click here for more updates as they become available.
Very good. All right.
That was at an 8:35 update. So that's going to get going. Obviously, the boys' regional, it teed off at 9 o'clock. Shotgun start to try to beat the weather.
Good idea.
You know, you've got Plainview, Chickasha, some Crossings Christian, North Rock Creek, Christian Heritage, Bridge Creek, some of those, you know, Anadarko, everybody's from away, except for Clinton, basically. Trying to get that thing done. That way they can get on the road in case something happens. They can be far enough east
to where you don't
have to worry about that. So that teed off 9 o'clock this morning, just a couple of minutes ago. So I've got my old I Wanna Maker app up.
I Wanna what?
I Wanna Maker. Just another way. I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably just another way for the OSSA to make money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one of those things.
To charge you to look at it. But I'm going to tell you right now.
Charge you to look.
I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to be handier in the pocket on a shirt when you get out there trying to give updates on scores when I can just go, hey, look here. The kids put it in, and I can tell you. Instead of trying to get a massive group text of the parents and, oh, they made this on that, you know, and try to add all that up in real time. Guess what? Right here.
Yeah. You save the receipt, right?
For $20. Here it is.
$20?
Well, it's for the next week, too. I mean, it's
okay.
It's one time? It's not just a one-time deal.
It's a one-time thing?
It's for
not a $20 every tournament?
I hope not. It's said for the entire playoffs, regionals and state, but you never know how that goes. But that's getting going, and we'll have a...
site fees and app fees.
Now I don't know for sure that they got their hands in this.
Come on.
But...
maybe they anyways, handy app though. We're gonna have something like that at our tournament.
I don't know. Ask the OSSAA.
I've heard that. No, not that. We are definitely not sanctioned by the OSSAA, the KCO Open.
Why not?
Why would we?
NIL, heck, we might as well get involved. If their fingers in every other pie, might as well put one in ours.
Sure. Oh man.
I don't know. You have to talk to the powers that be, Jared. I do know it's being talked about, and it might even be available at the club.
Yeah.
Through Golf Genius. I think that may be something that's in the works.
That's where we're headed. I've been to a golf course where there's iPads in every golf cart that not only had a map of the course, but you can electronically keep your score.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, why would they just take that step further where someone, if it's a tournament, people just put in their score and it sends it to the clubhouse?
Yeah.
You got a master scoreboard up there.
What to show. I mean, there's different things in those types of tournaments. For instance, like ours in the A, B, and C flight, you don't want to be posting scores because then somebody can look at them in the that plays in the morning flight but has an afternoon tea time. And they look and go, we need to shoot this.
Right. Yeah,
you know.
I can see that.
But now for the championship, obviously,
flight is,
they're all going against each other anyhow.
At the same
so
time, yeah,
yeah, you could do that, and I think that's
what we've kind of done, and it would
could be possible.
We didn't really do it last year, but going out and getting scores, it would really expedite all that. And just have them send them in.
You don't have to go out and get them; they
no,
come
exactly,
right to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this.
Set in the air conditioned clubhouse and just let it come to us.
It's the beauty of this puppy right here.
Cool.
Nobody's putting any scope. Oh, Braden Duncan, even par through one. Blake Redd, even par through one. So they both made
par.
You
put your own score in, or do you have to put your...
So that, from what I gather, the kids put the scores in, but they also keep a scorecard. The scorecard is official.
They have to sign and turn
in. They keep a running total here. So, yeah, it looks like a couple of pars for a couple of the Big Elks. I think Braden started on 7, par 3. Blake started on 11, the par 5, if I remember seeing that correctly. So anyhow, just getting underway there with the regional tournament. All right, yesterday, girls' golf state tournaments held. 4A was down in Blanchard at Winter Creek. The 2A girls was over at Weatherford at Prairie West. 4A girls' state champion is Fort Gibson. Runner-up is Marlow. And then in third place was the Clinton Lady Reds. Lady Reds had a two-day total of 735. They shot 362, 373. Grace Meacham was 10th overall individually with an 84 to 91. Addison Litke, 20th overall, 92-92. Kat Meacham was next at 21st at 91-95. Addison Newcomb, 27th at 95-95. And then Riley Cummins was 39th. She shot 100 and a 97. Also of note, the Clinton Lady Reds were the academic state champs. So
yeah, it's second year in a row.
Yeah, I think that's right. Third on the course and academic state champion. So congratulations to Clinton. Weatherford and Elk City brought up the rear of the field. Weatherford was 11th. They shot 859 total, which was 433, 426. McKinley Elwick, 43rd. She shot 104 and a 97. Addison Elwick, her twin sister, was 47th overall with a 105 and a 100. Bailey Lawless, 59th with a 112 and a 110. Emma McCurdy was 70th, 112 and 120. And then Amelia Childress, 71st with the 116 and a 119. Hellcats were 12th. They shot 870 as a total score, 425, 445. Jaden Manning led them in the 34th place finish with the 95 and 100. Aaron Womack, 57th with a 108 and a 112. Cam Edney, 61st with a 109 and a 115. Megan Suter, 68th with a 113 and a 118. And then Madeline Long, 72nd with a 121 and a 119. Every single Elkette will be back next year, a couple of juniors and three freshmen. So an incredibly young team that getting that experience, making it to the state tournament, has to help going into next year. And I'm just going to put out the plea right now, as I do every single year at this time, if I am asked to talk at the golf banquet, I'll say it again. If you're one of those girls, don't let the next time you pick up your golf clubs be next March.
Yeah.
You have a whole summer to work and work and get better. And with such a young team, you know, you never know. It'd be amazing, the improvement. So I'm going to put that plea out there, as I do every single year.
Man, believe me, you'll know, because you are out there all the time.
Sometimes. Not as much as I'd like to be.
You're taking attendance.
Yeah, I need a sign-up sheet. I'm going to get Derek a sign-up sheet out there, and we'll go over it weekly and shame people to go out there and practice. Anyhow, in 2A, Turner, fourth straight state championship as a team. Just incredible dominance. They won this year by 154 shots. 646 was their total. They shot 318, 328. Second place was Moreland at 800. They shot 390 and a 410. Hooker was third, 837. Hobart fourth at 844. And then the Merritt Oilerettes came home fifth at 848. So 11 shots out of third. They shot 424 both days. Peyton Broadbent led them at 17th place finish with a 106 and a 94. Madison Robinson was 18th with a 99 and a 104. Macy Lloyd, 40th with a 105 and a 112. Trey Lee McCain, 53rd with a 114 and a 125. And then Miley Flowers only played yesterday because she was one of those folks that was affected by the track meets getting postponed to Monday. So she wasn't able to play on Monday, but she played yesterday and shot a 114. So fifth place for Merritt, third for Clinton in 4A, 11th for Weatherford, and 12th for Elk City in 4A. I mentioned the boys' regionals going on today. I'll have some live updates on Big Elk TV throughout the day at the Class 4A regional tournament here in Elk City. Also, of note for golf, before we get into the slow pitch stuff, Jared, last night, or sometime in the, I think it was last night, Cordell's Megan Brown was named SWASU Woman Golfer of the Year and also the SWASU Woman Athlete of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, she's three-time all-conference on the golf course. And Lady Dogs are third seed in the regional coming up. But congratulations to her. That's awesome stuff, winning those two awards. Also, former Big Elk and an individual state champ, Trace Hill. His OCU Stars were third in their conference tournament. Trace individually was 10th, and he's first-team all-Sooner Athletic Conference there on the golf course. And then, so that's the college, and then let's go to the pro ranks.
Oh.
Our man Quade Cummins Monday qualified this week for the Byron Nelson.
Oh, really?
In an incredible way. He was in a three-person playoff, and he hit on the first playoff hole, he hit a gap wedge from 150 to 6 inches.
Wow.
To get his spot in the Byron Nelson. You wonder, well, what's he doing? Why is he doing that? Well, the Korn Ferry Tour is off for like 3 weeks. Just happened to be that they played in Texas last week, so he was available to hang around till Monday, and now he's got a spot in the Nelson, so he'll tee off tomorrow afternoon on the PGA Tour as a Monday qualifier. He, at least right now, it looks like he got to get start getting familiar with teeing off on the PGA Tour, because so far through the Korn Ferry Tour season, Quade is 10th on the point list. He just has to stay inside the top 30 to earn a card. Coming off the top five last week. So he's been playing really good golf. I'm anxious to see what happens, you know, stepping up a level, obviously, to the tour and see how he can handle that. But that's really cool. So we got high school golfers, we got college golfers, and we got professional golfers all around here in Western Oklahoma. that are really doing well. Mentioned slow pitch, 9:15, so there. Looks like they ought to be underway.
I keep refreshing on the app you have to pay for to watch, and hasn't started yet. But I got an inside man there. He'll let me know.
When it starts.
Yeah.
Who plays today?
Oh, don't get me going. Let's get up all the brackets. I know Canute and Wacomas will start things off. I'll race you to the brackets.
I clicked on the wrong one. You do 2A. I'll do A.
I know. Excuse me. Okay, let's see here. Okay. Now, don't ask me the times now because everything's pushed back. Obviously, Canute and Wacomas. Well, these are all going to be at 9:15, the first round. Arapahoe, Butler, and Surreal. Shattuck and Sterling, Drummond and Rock Creek. That's 2A.
What time would those semifinals be?
It says 1 o'clock, so if you push it back 45 minutes, 1:45.
Okay, so what's going to happen then is they were supposed to play at what? What was their originally scheduled time?
8:30, 1, and 4.
Okay, so that probably means B was next. No. A was next. I'm just looking at the times. I'm trying to figure this out. 8:30? Oh, maybe 3A's in there. So we don't have anybody from 3A. That's the problem. All right, so Class A, scheduled for 11:30. So if you push that back 45, that'd be 12:15. Bingeroni and Moss, Hammond and Stewart on the top side of that bracket. And then Turner and Kiowa on the bottom side, as well as Navajo and Red Oak. Those are originally scheduled for 11:30. That's probably like a 12:15-ish. 12:15, 12:30, something like that. For the Class A tournament, and then the Class B is going to have to continue to wait. 2:30 was supposed to be the first round. That's going to be a little way later by now, by the time all these games get going. Number one, Mountain View Godibo plays Lakeba Sickles. Also on that side of the bracket is Asher and Tupelo. Then down at the bottom, Leedy Lady Bison taking on Chattanooga. You wonder how Chattanooga's doing after the weather last night. Gosh, a tornado going right at town. And, you know, we've seen a bunch of stories about Sulphur, you know, and you know, Davis helping them out with buses and all kinds of really nice Oklahoma-y types of things to do, even for your rival. But you got Leedy and Chatty, and also on the bottom side there, Whitesboro and Caney. So that could actually be a semifinal, which is a rematch of last year's final between Leedy and Whitesboro. Remember, a year ago, Canute, Leedy, and Hammond all played for the slow pitch state titles. Yeah. So
that was cool.
Well, all these tournaments going to be played today, weather pending, obviously. But if they can, everything will be completed today there at the state softball tournaments on the slow pitch side in Oklahoma City.
I do know Coach Gillette did tell his girls pack for two nights.
Just in case.
Anticipating this stuff. By the way, speaking of weather, our thoughts going out to Cordell and Canute head baseball coach, Coach Bobby Blackburn's house took some damage.
Oh.
So he's dealing with a lot, obviously taking his team to state tomorrow, but now he has to have that on the back of his mind. Fortunately, nobody hurt. And in fact, he wasn't even there. He was at a team dinner, I'm told. But his house did take a hit. So thinking about everybody over there in Cordell. This morning, after going through that last night. Yeah,
absolutely. And listen, from all accounts, as far as the weather today, get ready. It looks like it's coming right back again, maybe even a little bit further west this time, more in the, you know, the eastern Texas panhandle and right here throughout west central Oklahoma. It's it looks like one of those days again. Man, we've had starting to stack them up in a row, Jared, because, you know, last Thursday and Saturday, obviously last night, and here we go again with the chances of it again. So we'll be here, have it covered on KECO, our sister station. But yeah, be weather aware. Come, and it looks like 2 to 4 is what maybe the possibility, at least out this way.
I saw a pushback about 5, maybe.
Okay,
but you know, mid to late afternoon. You know how it works. It's about that time.
Yeah, it always seems like it's
about mid afternoon.
The first idea is earlier than what it ends up. But I mean, after lunch, you better start paying attention.
It's that time of year. Just, I was telling Butch yesterday on Exploring Energy, it's just that time of year. So yeah, gotta just be ready for it. Get your phone's alerts turned on and maybe don't sleep with them on silent. And
yeah, early as 4 o'clock from a line of, say, Hinton to Cache, all the way up through Sealing-ish and back west, early as 4, this is according to the National Weather Service, most likely between 5 and 10 p.m., ending by midnight. And then as you go further east, obviously those hours are later into the day and into the night. So, yeah, it's one of those days. No doubt about it on the weather scene. What else we got high school-wise?
Well, hopefully tomorrow the weather cooperates.
Big Oak Baseball is a possibility, hopefully. 1 o'clock and 3:30, we'll be there. Ackley Park, Elk City and Manford. And then, of course, the state baseball tournaments. Granite, Canute, Arapahoe.
That's tomorrow.
All that stuff. Tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll have that tomorrow.
Hopefully tomorrow and on time.
Tomorrow and on time. Two things that you never can trust with the spring sports in the state of Oklahoma. Hanging out here on a Wednesday. I was just telling Jared off the air. There was an incredible fight last night in baseball. My Brewers and the Tampa Bay Rays. And it was at first base. It seemed like a completely harmless ground ball to first base. The pitcher covered, steps on first, and then they kind of, one of those deals, kind of brush each other walking by. And I mean, haymakers started flying.
All right, okay. I'm going to give you my live read. It's the first time I've seen it. I got in so late, I went straight to bed. I saw no highlights. Just heads up about basketball, too. All right, pretty normal so far. Ooh, little shoulder bump, like you're walking past each other in the high school hall.
Yeah, then here come the haymakers.
Now we're talking. Little push. My goodness. Wow. Oh.
I wonder which view you're looking at.
It is the Bally Sports view.
So I can't remember.
I don't know if it's Milwaukee's or Tampa Bay's, or if they share cameras. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Wow. What's going on? Was there history there?
I have no idea. I just saw it this morning. Don't know. Was the pitcher. I mean, he was throwing.
He was in there.
He was throwing haymakers.
Yeah, he was the guy who. No, I'm trying to. Yeah, there's some talking. There has to be history there with a little shoulder bump. Like, hey, punk, you know. Uribe started. I mean, he got the push first, but the Brewers players trying to hold back. Who was the Rays player?
I'm not sure.
Trying to hold him back before anything escalated. Yeah, there has to be some kind of a history there.
Yeah, because, I mean,
I can't wait to hear John Boy's breakdown of it.
The dude was out by 30 feet.
Yeah.
And they kind of brush shoulders. Uribe says something. Then they start jawing, and next thing you know, I mean, punches are thrown. I'm talking about reaching back as you can reach and throwing punches. And then, you know, it all got broken up pretty quickly. But that was a very good one.
Yeah. We should do that this year. That's what we should do. Every time there's a fight, we just rate them 1 to 10, 10 being the best.
This is going
to
be a hard one to beat, at least with the
attempt. A 10, like, okay, so we should really keep a track of this. So, like, all-timers are like the Ruggie Odor and Joey Bats fight. Like, that one, it's like a 10. A 1 is, I can't think of a really, they're not really memorable.
I don't know. Where would you put Pedro grabbing Zimmer by the melon head and throwing him down?
Like, was that even a fight? Come on.
It was almost elder abuse.
I thought he just killed him. Oh,
you know, there was years back, I think it was the Yankees. Like, I know Daryl Strawberry, when he played for the Yankees, so it must have been mid to late 90s, them and the Orioles. And I think it was him that literally, he looked like Jimmy Superfly Snuka coming, like the fight got down in the dugout, and he comes from the top step and just waylays somebody.
Yeah.
down in from the top from the top ropes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Nolan and Robin Ventura. Yeah.
That's
was
a That's a
very good one.
Those are in frames on people's walls.
Yes,
with him headlocking him, just wailing on him.
Yeah, normally you
that's
don't. A good one. It doesn't escalate to what we saw here last night. That was very good. You realize my Brewers, the manager has been thrown out of three straight games.
And we're just into May. Wow.
Three straight games.
What's going on?
Let's see.
He frustrated or is he?
Was it two nights ago? I think two nights ago. Runner on third. It's like the bottom of the eighth inning. It's a 1-0 lead for Tampa. And Adamas strikes out, but the ball gets away from the catcher. The run scores, and they call him for batter interference because on as he like the follow through of his swing hit the catcher's helmet as the catcher came toward him to try to block it in the dirt. The ball was already to the screen by the time the bat actually hit him.
Yeah,
and so he got thrown out for that. I think balls and strikes the night before. Then last it must have been last night that maybe that happened. Or he'd already got thrown out by the time they started fighting. Yeah, three straight tossings on the Brewer side.
So I'll rate this. This latest fight, I'll give it a solid. I don't know if punches were even connected.
That's the problem.
So I'll go with, but the aggression was there.
Like a six?
I was even go about a seven, actually.
But I mean, it would have.
We can go about
the
six
very
and a half
first.
Meet in the middle. Yeah.
It came back here. The very first punch looked like it landed in the helmet.
Well, but, the way they're punching looked like cats fighting
yes.
up there. Come on.
But that one doesn't count. I mean, if he'd have connected there without the helmet, it would bump it up a little bit. There's no doubt it wasn't one of those hold me back. They were
wanting to fight.
They were wanting to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
But well,
we're going to do that this
the
year.
The real strong punches never landed.
We need a sounder like a fighting bell. Oh, fight alert. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. What was the guy? Always the boxing guy on ESPN. Al Bernstein. Need like his voice. You know what I'm talking about?
When I think of fights and the guys in the ring,
I'm talking about like art, like
a play by play,
the announcers.
Oh.
Yeah, like Howard Cosell.
Okay,
probably on a lot of.
Not
that.
A big. I mean, I like box. I'm not a. I don't know him. Who's the Michael Buffer?
Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Not a bad fight. Not a bad fight at all. And we'll just have to keep it running when we see one. So that's the standard right now.
I'm going to create a note on the desktop and label it fight ratings. So that would have been last night, 4:30. Brewers versus
Rays.
What do we say? Do we want to like an average it, like 6.5?
6.5, yeah. 6. That's what we'll do. 5. You'll vote, I'll vote, and then
we'll see what we come
we'll,
up
with.
We'll, yeah.
we'll average them together.
Okay.
All right, 6.5 for that one last night.
We have an award at the end of the year. Hopefully we get some Rangers and Astros fighting. Looks like Astros don't have any fight left in them this season.
Oh, shots fired across the bow.
With their record.
There were a couple of teams that showed they had fight left in them last night in the NBA playoffs. Both the Sixers and the Bucks. Sixers win inside MSG, 112-106. There was a point Tyrese Maxey scored like 7 points in 17 seconds that really kind of saved the day for the Philadelphia 76ers. I knew that my phone was going to light up after that shot you took at the Astros, and sure enough, there it is. So Philly wins. Back to New York, still down 3-2, or back to Philly, excuse me, still down though 3-2. Maxey had 46, 17 of 30. He was 7 of 12 from 3. I mean, just a great performance. Jalen Brunson had 40, took him 32 shots to do it, 4 of 11 from 3. But Philly stays alive behind Tyrese Maxey, and now you never know. Going back home. Can they force a game 7? And how cool would that be to see? We haven't seen a lot of playoff basketball in Madison Square Garden lately. And now for kind of the one of the series, I guess they made it last year anyways, but not real important games.
Yeah, they were like the Cavs-Mavs last year, or Magic last year.
Yeah, a little bit. And so now with Philly, New York, and the nervousness that could surround that crowd about to blow a 3-1 lead, I hope Philadelphia gets it back to New York.
Oh, me too. That's fun. East Coast stuff like that. That is cool. I'm still all about the Knicks, though, moving forward. My phone was blown. I was out and about last night, but my phone was blowing up saying MSG was rocking in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I've said that before. NBA basketball is awesome when the Knicks are good and when the MSG is more than just Spike Lee, you know, going crazy, when it's everybody and it's going nuts. So I'm all about it. I hope this does go the distance. Because if it gives us anything like that, I mean, imagine a Game 7 like that last night.
It'd be great stuff.
That'd be cool. That'd be great. That's absolutely why we watch playoff basketball.
And if you don't know what that crowd looks like, go back and watch that 30 for 30 called Winning Time. It basically chronicles the series between the Pacers and the Knicks in the early 90s with Reggie Miller and Mark Jackson and Patrick Ewing and Van Gundy on the side. It's great stuff. And that will give you kind of an idea of what that crowd is like. You know, something that happened at the deadline that I really thought was going to be a good thing for Philadelphia, and it just hasn't worked for some reason, was when they acquired Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
I thought, man, what a perfect spot for him to be with Embiid in the middle, and maybe, you know, Embiid being hurt, he never really found his footing, but he doesn't even play. Doesn't even come off the bench anymore for the Philadelphia 76ers. That's a curious case of what has happened to Buddy. You know, it's hard to argue with Nick Nurse. They're right in the series and have a chance to make it go seven as a 7 seed against a 2 seed. But that I'm really, really surprised that this wasn't a perfect landing spot for Buddy Hield with what the Sixers have and how he could have complemented that, you know, that team. And it just simply hasn't happened.
Yeah, it was promising when you go into a team like the Sixers that are up there and can, I don't know if we'll say maybe contenders in the East and what he could bring to them. And it just hasn't really worked out. It hasn't really materialized for him. I hate that because he's proven to be an NBA player, right? I mean,
he's one of the best 3-point shooters of all time by the numbers.
Exactly. It's just we can't find him a team, right? And I was hoping this is the team that he could land on.
Yeah, a team to make a difference on with winning.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so in game one.
But it's not over yet. I mean, who knows? He could have just bust out one game. I mean, it's coming up. Who knows?
So in game one, 0 for 2 from the field in 11 minutes. Missed his only 3, had an assist, was a minus 16.
He's kind of like their, God dang it, Thunder. Hayward.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Kind of had a little hope come bringing him in here, thinking, oh, he could be a little help here, and it really hasn't worked out. It's kind of like how it's working out for the Sixers and Buddy.
1 of 3 in game 2, 15 minutes, minus 3. And then in game 3, he only played 4 minutes, I believe. Look at the pulling the box score up. Hang on. They're on the bottom now. Yeah, 0 for 2 in 4 minutes. And then game 4 and game 5 hasn't logged a second on the floor. So it's obviously he's kind of fallen out of the rotation, at least in this series. And
yeah, is it a matchup thing? Or
maybe he can't guard. It's more on the guarding end of it. So, yeah, it's a really weird thing because I thought, man, that's going to be a perfect spot for him to get surrounded by those guys and, you know, help out on the offensive end for sure to try to unlock some of what Embiid could do down at the post, and it just hadn't happened. It has not happened for Buddy Hield there in Philly. Surprised at the Bucks just blowing out Indiana?
Not really.
I mean, they looked left for dead, and then all of a sudden, no Dame, no Giannis, no problem.
No problem. They got Middleton, though.
And Bobby Portis was awesome after getting ejected the other night.
Yeah, that is actually when I got home, turned on the TV, and there's like 2 minutes left, and it was over. But then I started seeing the stats, and they're talking about what happened and everything, you know, as the game went on and the ramifications of it all. And his name came up, and then Middleton, obviously. I'm just looking at it here, 29-12. So, I mean, they're not a bad team without those two.
Yeah,
those are still names that are very much big contributors.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that, they're not a true contender anymore without.
No.
And I don't even know if they were with. But without those guys, they're, you know, it's maybe solid Eastern Conference type team. Maybe went around, you know, being down 3-1, that's going to be really hard going back to Indiana for game 6. But they do. They stay alive. And the thing about them staying alive one extra game is, does that mean maybe Dame can come back? If you get to a game 7, maybe can Giannis, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Just staying alive in the series would only benefit Milwaukee, not only because they get to keep playing, but maybe one step closer to getting those guys back on the floor. And then Cleveland beat Orlando 104-103. Nobody cares. Tonight, Mavs Clips, Game 5. What do you expect to see? It's been kind of a hodgepodge of things. We've seen, you know, the one constant? Luka hasn't been great.
Not necessarily.
Kyrie has. But Luka hasn't necessarily been great. We've seen kind of some ups and some downs from the Clippers. Harden was great in game 1. Harden was great in game 4. Harden was in 2 and 3. You know, Russ has been terrible outside of the first game. Paul George was outstanding there in game 4. But as hard as it is and as hard as it has to be for the Clippers, I think until he can prove he's 100% healthy, playing Kawhi Leonard right now is not an option if you want to win this series if he's not healthy. We saw that in games 2 and 3. You know, it's kind of interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
They set him, the games they set him, they won. The games they haven't, they've lost.
That is interesting. How do you tell your superstar, we got to set you because we're better without you? You're weighing us down with you on the floor. That's a tough spot for the Clippers. I do like the Clippers' chances. I know Dallas is a favorite here, according to ESPN, 3.5-point favorite. But being in L.A., I like Paul George. I think Paul George turned a corner in that last game. But he's been kind of like Harden as of late in his playoffs. Flashes of good, then mediocrity, and then maybe even bad. But I think he turned a corner. Because that's like the one guy, you mentioned all those stars, and so one guy everyone kind of forgets is on this team is Paul George, and he's a good player. But I like the Clippers' chances. I think they take a 3-2 lead, but I'll say I think this goes to 7-2. I think this goes to game 2. I think this goes to full distance.
Yeah, I can't find. I'm trying to find update. I see a whole bunch of different articles detailing how important it is to win game 5 in a series tied 2-2. I've seen a ton of articles from years past. I'm trying to figure out if I can find, you know, one from like last night, say, with Cleveland and the Magic to tell what the odds are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't see it. So this was back. Well, this is in 2018, so these numbers are a little bit old. But teams that win Game 5 of a 2-2 tie best-of-seven series go on to win 83% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it was at least three-quarters of the time. So that three-quarters, 75% is probably a baseline, right, with what has happened since 2018, all the different results. So guaranteed 75% of the time it happens, and that number was 83% back in 2018, here's one from 2012 with the Thunder and an article about the Thunder and the Spurs Western Conference Finals tied 2-2. Here's one from 2 years ago. This is just NBA Finals. This isn't the entire playoffs. So somewhere, the point is, the winner of tonight's game between the Mavs and the Clippers is going to have an outstanding chance of winning this series.
Yeah. Celtics wrap it up?
Boy, I think so. You know,
that loss might have helped them.
They just, man, they were pounding Miami. I watched a bunch of that of game 4. You know, 61-36. Derek White was going crazy. But then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, Miami comes storming back, you know, to make it at least interesting in the last 5 minutes, around a 10-point. They might have cut it to 8 one time from as many as, I don't know, 25 or 30 down. But Boston feels like they're just sort of going through them. Like, you start out, you get way ahead, and then you just kind of hang out.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's going to be the case. Like, when are they going to have to ramp up the intensity for 7 games? The finals?
Maybe.
Of all the years to be in the East versus the West.
Oh, this is the year.
This is a great year for that to happen.
Yeah, it's Boston versus the rest of the East. Who knows who's there going to be their opponent if they get to the final?
Cleveland or Orlando. Yeah. Nobody's scared of that series. And then
no,
the Knicks or the hobbled Bucks. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I would like to see you talk about ramping it up. You know, Heat's playing for their season tonight. So, what if the Heat come out guns a blazing, takes them to the wire down the fourth quarter? You know, have to keep Boston playing with intensity, playing at a high level, because Heat obviously going to have to try to save their season or extend their season.
Yeah, but
I see what you're saying. It's getting,
they're just not good enough.
Nah.
Here's the deal. They shot almost a historic game too. 23 of 43 from deep on the road against Boston to win game two. That's an anomaly. The rest of the series hadn't gone like that, and Boston just dominated.
Yeah.
And dominated with maybe like their B-minus, C-plus game. But eventually they're going to have to crank that up. But it may not be till the NBA Finals. Who do you like in Mavs Clips tonight? Who's going to win that game?
I said it, the Clippers. I like the Clippers at home. I know they're the dog here, but I look for Paul George to have a good game.
Extra day off.
I think they do.
Probably helps the Clips.
Yeah, I think they do limit Leonard.
I don't think they're going to play him.
At all.
Mm-mm.
And if they don't play him, I'll take Clippers all day.
Yeah, they're not going to play. I don't think they're playing him.
But come on, Luka, I want to see him have a game too.
Yeah, he's the good news for the Mavs is he hasn't just exploded yet. And they're still 2-2. Kyrie's been awesome. And, you know, that Luka game is coming. Is it tonight? Is it to close it out? You know, the next game in game 6? Is it to on Friday night? Is it maybe even game 7? Who knows? Or to keep their season alive? But he's going to have a great game. And when he does, can he get a little help and win that? It's interesting because we talked about it yesterday. The longer this series goes, you would think that would favor Oklahoma City next in round 2. Making those, especially if it's the Clippers, more veteran, older, wear them down type of thing.
Yeah.
But also, does that allow Kawhi to try to heal up and all of a sudden, instead of a Kawhi-less Clippers, you've got to say 95% Kawhi. That's a lot tougher challenge than what it looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Wolves Nuggets. That doesn't start till Saturday. So we got time to talk about that. I was thinking that might be tomorrow night, but it's going to be Saturday for Wolves Nuggets. I think that's going to be one heck of a fun series to watch.
Do you have a time on that?
TBD. TBD, to be determined. A big part of that is there's 2 game 7s, if necessary, with Philly and New York and with Indiana and Milwaukee. So it's a total crapshoot at the moment on when that might be. Hanging out here on a Wednesday. Wednesday would be a perfect day to head on down to the Boomtown Grill for lunch or for supper. Boomtown Grill, man, they got everything. Like literally anything you can think of as far as a style of food. They've got it. They've got American food. They've got Italian food. You got Cuban food. The Cubano sandwich.
Ooh, that sounds good.
You know what's on that?
Why, I would guess traditional Cuban sandwich stuff. Like, what is that?
It's like pulled pork.
Pulled pork.
And ham and bacon and mustard, which I would hold. Swiss cheese and, like, pickles.
Oh, man.
It's fantastic. Like, kind of like, it's panini. Kind of smash it, you know, what have you. Grill it. It's a good one. It is a really good one. The nachos. The chicken nachos. Have you ever had the chicken nachos there?
I have had so much, I can't.
Chicken nachos are awesome. I mean, the pico, fresh pico with the cheese and the chicken.
My problem is with really good restaurants is I will get stuck on one item because I would think, man, I'm going to broaden my horizons here and get something else. But, man, that so-and-so is really good. You know, their wings are great, and that's tomorrow, obviously.
Tomorrow, 50-cent boneless wing day. That's the, you know, 100% agree with you. Because my main man, Compton, he gets stuck in a rut. Normally the blowout, which is the pizza, which is like the meat lover's pizza.
Oh, okay.
But now he's kind of went to the wings. He's kind of a wingman all of a sudden.
Good.
And so, yeah, 50-cent wings tomorrow. Boomtown Grill. Just fantastic. Absolutely fantastico. Let's see. What else do we got? Happy hour 2 to 6. 2103 South Main in Elk City. Boomtown Grill open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday, and on Saturday. It's the Boomtown Grill. So Gavin Freeman, legacy Oklahoma Sooner, walked on, then what, earned his scholarship after the first year? Is that right? Seemed like I saw a video of him. You know, one of those cool videos.
Yeah, yeah.
He has decided to enter the transfer portal. You know, he was one of those guys that was really talked about and really built up over the summertime last year as somebody that needed to take a step and was working hard and maybe the best receiver, you know, electrifying a couple of times on punt returns. But, man, then all of a sudden it was like you're scared to death of him back there if you're a Sooner fan, whether or not he could catch it. Muff the punts, and you know, the guys just simply, I think, got over-recruited. And so, yeah, it's kind of like jarring when you see a guy whose dad played at Oklahoma and who walked on and made a little bit of a mark at OU.
From Oklahoma.
From Heritage Hall, yeah. High School. It's a little bit jarring to see a guy like that jump in the portal. But at the same time, I would submit to you, Jared, that this is a great sign for what is in that wide receiver room. We talk about it. It's supposed to be good. But when you see this happen, in my opinion, that means what we're seeing or what we're hearing is really happening. And you have to wonder what Deion Burks did in the spring game, how much that contributed to the decision that Gavin Freeman made to move on from OU.
Right, before Burks chose to come to OU, Freeman was the heir apparent of that next slot wide receiver following, you know, Sterling Shepard and Drake Stoops, et cetera. And, yeah, I think what we saw there in that spring game really opened a lot of eyes, opened my eyes. And a lot of people think, and then there's, you know, got to make room. They're overfilled, right? So they got to make room scholarship-wise. I think some people look at it as a mean way of saying, hey, it's best if you move on. But I think, you know, that's not how it works. I'm sure Venables and staff told him, listen, it's best getting the portal now so you can find a home where you're going to get a lot of playing time and develop as a player, because it's not going to be here because we don't have the room for you. Probably not as mean as that, but you know what I mean.
Oh,
I think it's a good sign.
Those are conversations that have always had at certain programs, have been had throughout the years. But with the NIL being so on the forefront, those conversations will be going both ways now. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's more of a professional type sport because you're getting paid. And here's the deal. We all know this in whatever walk of life there is. If you're getting paid to do a job and you're not performing that job to the best of the capabilities or up to the standards that are held at whatever you're doing, this happens. Yeah. Might want to move along.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the cutthroat business that it is becoming, has always been to a certain extent, but even more now because of the NIL, because these guys are more professional athletes than they've ever been before. This is going to be the norm all over the country, where you get a couple of years and it's the same way the kids are doing it to the schools. You know, you get a couple of years of develop me. If you're not doing the job I think you should be, I'm getting in the portal and going somewhere else. Well, also on the same side, or on the exact opposite side of that coin, those coaches and those programs are going to expect you to perform in the first couple of years. Otherwise, we got somebody from a different college, you know, from a different team that wants to come here that might do it, or there's still those high school guys out there that we think can do it as well.
That's either that or get cut. You know,
well, I mean, this
getting told, you got to move on. I've wondered what if a kid doesn't want to move on? You know, my dream was to wear the crimson and cream. I'm not leaving. Well, you're cut, or you can just stand on the sideline the entire time and be our practice dummy.
That's essentially what it is, though. I mean, it's
processing is
an easier way to say it than getting cut.
Yeah, yeah,
and. It just, and I'm sure there's going to be kids that would rather, you know, some would rather go play. And there might be an occasional one like that that just bleeds crimson and cream or the orange and black or what have you. And they just kind of have to get a little bit more harsh about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think this is one of those things. He's looking around and he's going, uh-uh. As much as I love it here, I want to go play football, and I'm not going to get mm-hmm. to play football here at this time. So,
I mean, just look at, well, I guess it's not, you know, Gunnar Gundy. I guess he's back. I don't know what's going on.
I don't even know where he's at.
He went
to
Ohio, and then I've heard it didn't work out. I mean, it was there maybe months, and then I've heard he's working out at OSU, but not necessarily on the team.
And well, and that could
still
be something
for another location to fall. I don't know.
That could be another thing where if a kid just simply doesn't want to leave, then maybe you take him off scholarship and let him be a walk. I don't know. I mean, there's also still a lot of things with, you know, especially at OU, where those walk-ons are kind of getting an NIL to pay for their school essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. Just going to be tough. There's always tough decisions that we see made by the kids to get in the portal. I think what's going to really start to ruffle some feathers with people is when the schools start doing this. And they're going to.
If the kids want to be treated like pros and get money and to play and all this stuff and have endorsement deals, then you're going to get cut like a pro. You're going to get treated like a pro.
That is correct.
It's cutthroat in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's cutthroat. So if that's just the nature of the beast. Get ready for it. And me personally, after I saw that news and let it process a little bit, let it marinate a little bit, and I thought, you know, we've got to start, as fans, got to start treating them like pros. Whereas I'm not going to get attached to you like I would if you're a kid that's signing from Heritage Hall and you're a local Oklahoma boy, and that's awesome, it's a great story. We can't do that anymore because this could happen. And we can't get upset about it if we see a kid, our favorite player, that we brought a jersey number on, and he's suddenly in the portal.
Oh, yeah, and for multiple reasons. Maybe his, maybe.
That's why I don't buy jerseys unless they're Hall of Famers.
But how do you know they're going to be a Hall of Famer? Wait till they do it?
I know Chet is. That's why I went ahead and bought his jersey.
We still haven't been able to get into the revenue-sharing possibilities, which ties right into this.
Great off-season fodder.
I think so, too. Yeah. Between the revenue-sharing possibilities, which would lead to unionizing of college athletes maybe, which would lead to collective bargaining between...
It's coming, man.
It's
going to be NFL light. It's going
to
be...
That'll be a good one. Also, will Kevin Durant come back to Oklahoma City? Talk about a summer topic. It's going
to
be all over
the
place.
Can we wait till like July to really get into that?
Yeah, we maybe wait till never to get into that.
Thank you.
The Kevin Durant to Oklahoma City might be this year's, like, we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers until games start type thing.
Yeah.
You see? But speaking of Kevin Durant to Oklahoma City, did you see the early odds?
He's like second to last for Oklahoma City, isn't it?
No, that's for LeBron.
Oh.
Second best odds.
So Golden State won?
Nope. Keep guessing.
L.A.
Nope.
Man, we could be here all day. Dallas.
Nope.
Help me out.
Miami is the favorite to land Kevin Durant and Oklahoma City.
Why is that even
a
thing? His contract is – who's going to take that on?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly Oklahoma City has the capital to trade, right? The draft capital and everything.
Yeah.
In the room to take maybe to take on that contract, but I just don't think the chemistry works.
Josh Giddey and two future number ones for Kevin Durant. Who says no?
Hmm.
Oh, Phoenix says yes all day. They need it. They need all
they
that.
Need picks. They don't need, have a yeah. pick forever.
But I know who says no.
The Oklahoma City fans.
The majority of the fans. There are going to be some that are secretly wanting this to happen. I think you're one of them. I don't think it's a secret.
I'm getting less and less wanting it to happen as we move on. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Tune into Big Elk TV for golf updates.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.